get started, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. We began in earnest last Wednesday night looking at some of the things that Christ commended the church at Ephesus for. And this is really kind of ballooned. I didn't know that it would take this much to get through these. I figured it'd be quick mentions and we move on. But the Lord's asked us to park on some of these things. And so we'll do it. We're just in the first church. We got six more to go. But the reality is the church at Ephesus got the most commendation. So once we get past here, they start dropping off like flies, if you will. And but nonetheless, it'll be a blessing to us tonight. We've already studied how the church at Ephesus was commended by Jesus Christ for their labor of love. And works are done by faith. Labor, as we've learned, is done by love. And may God help us here at Spring City not to just work by faith. That's important. That's what gets the ball rolling. But that we would continue to labor in love in the things that Jesus Christ has asked us to do. And if we'll do that, there'll be a commendation for us one day when we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. So we saw that labor of love. And then last Sunday, we saw the discernment of good and evil and how the Lord commended the church at Ephesus for not bearing those that are evil. And then He turned right around and commended them for a willingness to bear their own cross. That's why we sing those songs tonight. And to bear His reproach in this world. And you and I, if we're going to receive that commendation from Jesus Christ, we'll have to do the same. We'll have to deny ourselves, put our will on the back burner, wake up every morning and say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And be willing to bear the reproach of Jesus Christ. Be willing to bear the reproach of being a Bible believer in a world that is waxing worse and worse every day. And so the Lord, He commended them for that. But He also commended them for bearing one another's burdens. And as I said Sunday night on the radio, I commend this church for doing that. You all are really good at doing this. And so just don't lose that. Amen. Strengthen the things that remain, as we'll see over here in one of these churches. So that sort of brings us up to speed tonight. If we look here in Revelation 2, verse 2, Jesus tells this church, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Lord willing, that'll be Sunday morning. Verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience. And for my name's sake hast labored. And here it is tonight. I tried to prime it Sunday night on the radio, but tonight we'll look at, and hast not fainted. And hast not fainted. What a commendation from Jesus Christ. Let's pray and we'll get started tonight. Father, thank you for the good day. Lord, thank you for the time to come back to the church house, assemble together. Lord, we thank you for these folks that have made the effort to be here. And Lord, reality tonight, the weather's turned on us while we've gotten here. And Lord, we're just going to trust you to keep us safe as we go home. But Lord, don't let us worry about that during the preaching. I pray we'll put all that out of our minds. And Lord, that you'll speak through me to the heart of your people tonight. Lord, this is a group, I believe, that is working by faith and laboring in love. And Lord, this is a group that can discern good and evil. This is a group that's willing to bear their cross, that's willing to bear your reproach, Lord, that's willing to bear one another's burdens. And so, Father, tonight I pray that with all of that work, Lord, and all that load, that you would strengthen Spring City Baptist Church, Lord, that we'd not faint. What a commendation it would be one day to have that from you. And we thank you, Lord, for not fainting in the ministry and the work that you had to do for us on the cross. Lord, we thank you for your strength and praise you for that, Lord. And we need your strength tonight. God, our church needs it in the face of a world that's waxing worse and worse. God, help us to be strengthened and to not faint in the good work you've called us to do. Pray you'll help us tonight. Now, Lord, speak again to the heart of your people. May the preaching be effectual. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so he says here that thou hast not fainted. What a great, great commendation. That word faint, you might, if we just went through the audience tonight and got definitions, we might get close to this. That word faint means to be weak. It means to be feeble. I liked this definition from Webster. It means to be cowardly. To be, we probably don't think about fainting that way, right? We think about fainting as, right? And somebody's out, okay? And that's absolutely part of it, right? And when that happens, something ain't right, is it? Either they've been overexerted, or something's wrong in the heart, or something's wrong in the body, and out they go, or something's wrong in the mind, right? And out they go. But to define that word as cowardly, gives it a whole new meaning. Especially when we start to think about soldiers. And we'll look at that here in Deuteronomy in just a minute. That word faint also means, I like this, Webster had them all alliterated. These aren't my own words, they're his. To faint means to be dejected. Felt that before, I'm sure. To be dejected, depressed, or dispirited. And so we can faint either physically, which is what most of us think about, but I think what Jesus is talking about here to the church at Ephesus is they had not fainted spiritually. And physical condition can inform the spiritual condition a little bit. But I think tonight what you're going to see is that our spiritual condition informs our physical condition much more than we think it does. For in our spiritual condition, our heart and our mind, if we are minded to do something, this body will get in gear and go do it as much as it can. But I'm telling you, if our spirit is broken, or our spirit is dejected, or our heart is depressed, that body is not going to be minded to do anything on that certain topic. And I really believe that's the essence of what Jesus is talking about here to the church at Ephesus. And that's really what the whole counsel of God on fainting is about, in the largest sense, is about our spiritual condition, and our spiritual condition pushing us forward, encouraging us, strengthening us to continue to labor with our hands and to work and to do what the Lord's asked us to do in these last days. But I'm telling you, church, if our spiritual condition gets faint, then the work's going to cease, or it's going to slow tremendously. I didn't say this, the Lord said this. In Proverbs 24, verse 10, he says, if thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That's kind of a slap in the face, ain't it, Brother Gary? Because everybody in here gets tired. Everybody in here gets worn down. Everybody in here, well, listen, when adversity comes, most of us in here are so busy as it is without adversity. When adversity comes, it becomes the camel that breaks, or the camel that breaks the straw's back. The straw that breaks the camel's back. But the Lord said, listen, in the day of adversity, he said, if you faint, he said, your strength is small. Now, we could get offended by that. Or we could agree with God and say, you know what, Lord, you're right. I'm not near as strong as I think I am. You know what, Lord, you're right. I'm not near as sufficient as I think I am. Lord, you know what, you're right. Thanks for sending that adversity into my life. And we, like Paul, could say, I will there happily there glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The last verses we'll look at tonight are in Isaiah chapter 40. And in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, God is the one that gives strength to those that are faint. And so we'll just go ahead and kick off with that tonight. Probably all of us in here need to admit at some point in our Christian life we've become faint. Maybe you're faint tonight. Maybe you just don't have the get up and go about you. Now, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. That the joy maybe is just not there like it always has been, or the drive to serve Jesus and to live for Him just not always, it's not there like it always has been, or it's not as fervent today as it has been in the past, whatever the circumstance may be. And if that's you tonight, I would start off very quickly right now by praying one of those Nehemiah prayers and say, Lord, my strength's not what it ought to be. Lord, I feel faint in my heart, faint in my mind. God, would you strengthen me through this message tonight? And I promise you He'll do it. I promise you He'll do it. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Let's head over there. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Boy, this Bible's such a great book. Deuteronomy chapter 20. I've got a book that I'm reading that I think is nonfiction, but it sounds fictitious. If I told you what it was, you'd be bored out of your mind. So it's about it's about this naturalist guy back in the 1800s. And England was really obsessed with going to places like Papua New Guinea and South America and getting different species of birds and beetles and insects and bringing them back and putting them in the Natural History Museum. And there's big money in it. And there's this guy that broke into one of the museums and stole a bunch of birds of paradise skins so he could tie salmon flies. That's what I figured you'd react as. Why do you tell us all that? I'm glad the Bible is not a book that I have to wonder, is this true or not true? I know that book's true. Because what God's going to say right here, you can see it in human nature every day. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says this. God is instructing the nation of Israel about when they go to war. Okay? He says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? I mean, it's better than God saying, look, if you look out there and they got more people, you better go home. That's not what he said. He said, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, and God's stronger than anybody on the face of this earth. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And as we read this tonight, for sake of time, if you'll do me the favor of, can y'all multitask? If you can multitask, I need you to do this tonight. I need you to also not only understand what God's saying to them here doctrinally, but devotionally, I need you to make the spiritual application to our lives and the spiritual warfare that we're having. Okay? So when you wake up tomorrow morning and you look at your calendar or you look at the world that you're living in, the life that you're living, and you see the enemies are greater than you are and the problems are more than you bargained for. Amen? And the phone calls come that you didn't expect to come. Don't be afraid. The Lord thy God is with thee. Okay, everybody multitasking now. Here we go. It says, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when you're come nigh to the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Now that's a novel idea. That before they ever went and swung a sword, they got preached to. What if America would, that'd be something, wouldn't it? 3, and shall say unto them, here's what the priest is supposed to say. Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts what? How? Because you know in an army, morale is everything. Brother Gary could talk about that. Some of these guys have been in the military. They could talk about morale. If the troops aren't spirited, you might as well just not even go fight it. If they're defeated in their mind before they ever step onto the battlefield, it'll be a catastrophic loss. The same's true in sports. Sorry to be carnal tonight, but the same's true in sports. If a team doesn't think they can win, there's no use in playing the game. And if you and I engage in this spiritual battle with the thought of, I don't see what good it does, it ain't going to do much good. And the Lord told them, he said, don't be faint. Let not your hearts faint. Remember we said the spiritual informs the physical? He said, let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Keep reading. And do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And I know he's talking to Israel, but is that not true about the Christian? You say, well, Pastor, there's been plenty of Christians who've lost their lives in this battle. Right, but once they took their last breath here, where'd they go? They're absent from the body, they're present with the Lord, they win. Amen? You got to keep that in mind. 5, and the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, watch this now. What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicated, I'd say God's a really nice God. Can you believe that? So the Lord calls all the men together, and the priest says, listen, don't be faint, don't be afraid, God's going to go fight with you. And then the officer steps up and says, all right, how many of you guys just built the house in the last year? You know, and the hands go home. That's all right. That's a good God. It goes on. And he says, verse 6, what man is he that hath planted a vineyard, hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return into his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. All right, how many of you just planted your farm this year? Hands go up, go home. Go work your crops. 7, what man is there that hath betrothed a wife, that's not taken her? How many of you fellows are engaged? Hands go up, go home. Man, that would really fool the plans of a guy that went to war to get out of the, anyway. Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. Now, here we go. That's all kind of, this is the point. And the officer shall speak further to the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint hearted? Let him go and return into his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Do you know the next question that came from those officers is, okay, guys, we need you to be honest with us tonight. How many of you are scared? You know, come on now, in an army of 20 to 30 year old men, it took some guts to stand there and raise your hand and say, I'm scared. But no doubt some of them did. And the officer said, go home. Now that sheds a little bit of light on Gideon's army, doesn't it? Because they show up with 32,000 and God said, that's too many for me to get the glory. Gideon just asked him how many of them are scared. And 20,000 of them go home. Amen. I can't imagine. Brother Mark and I talk about D-Day a lot and some of those World War II guys. I can't imagine. On D-Day, when they're loading those landing crafts, if they'd looked at those men and said, y'all scared? Every one of them been scared. But the reason, listen, the reason that God put this in here, the reason God wanted these officers to ask his question was, if one of those men went out there and they were faint-hearted and they were fearful, then that would tend to infect the other soldiers around them. And God said, we can't have that. He said, if you're going to fight this battle, God says, you're going to have to be confident that God is going to help you. And church, you know, the same principle is true in the church. That's why everybody in here, myself included, everybody in here, we all have to take account and be so careful that we do not get faint in our minds and in our heart, because it's going to infect the other people at the church. And you know as well as I do, it's a whole lot easier to stop fighting and to leave the battle than it is to progress in the battle like Gideon's men, faint yet pursuing. That's a rare thing. But you got to think, 22,000 of those men said, I'm going home, I'm scared. It's a whole lot easier to quit than it is to keep going. But in the church, if we can remember this principle and say, you know what? Lord, I'm feeling faint, God. Would you strengthen me? Because I don't want to cause one of my brothers or sisters to drop out of the race either, Lord. I want everybody at Spring City just to keep going and get stronger, Lord, and for you to strengthen us and for you to encourage us. Lord, don't let us get faint here at this church. Amen. And you know, I mean, I know over there, Numbers 14, man, 12 spies. And they come back, and Caleb and Joshua are the only two voices that are for doing what God said to do. And the other 10 are negative Nancy. Well, I mean, Nancy's in here too. They're negative Nancy's. And you know what it did. It discouraged the heart of the entire nation. And God said, I didn't want that. Amen. And so here at Spring City, God give us saints that are strong in their spirit. And if we feel the faintness coming on, we're going to have to get alone with God and say, God, strengthen me. Lord, I don't want to infect my brothers. I don't want to be a stumbling block, Lord, to the work you're trying to do at Spring City. So it's incredibly important for the army to have good morale. It's incredibly important for the church, man, to have good morale as soldiers of Jesus Christ. We understand it's a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. And they're mighty, they're pulling down of strongholds. We know we got to put on the whole armor of God. It's spiritual armor, it's not physical armor. Although he likens it to a physical armament. And we all must take heed to our spirit and to our heart that we not discourage others at the church. Come with me over to Nehemiah chapter 4. We read some of this Sunday night as we were closing out. Nehemiah chapter 4. What a great book this is on encouragement and on building and on battling the enemies and the adversaries that would try to stop the work. And church, I know you and I, listen, we're not building the wall in Jerusalem. We're not building the temple in Jerusalem. But we are working in the field, in the harvest field that Jesus Christ said, pray you therefore, Lord of the harvest, he'd send forth laborers. And if you and I faint, the work stops. Because you know the Roman Catholic Church is not going to do God's work. Right? You know the political parties of Virginia are not going to do God's work. It's going to be the church that does God's work if it gets done. But if you and I faint, the work doesn't get done. So here in Nehemiah, I just went through chapter 3, chronicling where everybody was working together, and boy, it took a small army to do that, didn't it? Just like it takes a small army for a church to be what God wants it to be. Nehemiah 4, the Bible says here in verse 6, it says, So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, and here's why. For the people had a what? Had a mind to work. Sound like they were spiritually engaged in this thing. They had some get up and go about them. They had some gumption. They had some industriousness about them, if that's a word, I think it is. And they were willing to work. But I want you to understand, just because the people were willing to work didn't mean the work was going to be easy. If you look at verse 1, it came to pass, when Sanballat heard we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. You understand? They're building the wall in the face of a guy making fun of them. Now that's impressive. That's not fainting in the work that they were called to do. Church, you and I are going to have that happen to us. We're going to try to work for God. We're going to try to do everything that he's told us to do and be obedient to him. And people are going to mock you right to your face. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to say things they never should say. What are you going to do? You going to stop because of some ridicule from some wicked, evil people? Or are you going to be like the folks in Nehemiah's day and just have a mind to work and just keep going for God? Look what he says down here in verse 10. I read this Sunday night. So, come back over to verse 2. Let's see what Sanballat had to say. And he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the, and the word is, rubbish, that's an important word, which are to be burned. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was with him, and he said, even that which they build for fox go up, he will even break down their stone wall. See, this thing goes both ways, because here you've got a guy that's mocking the Jews, and it emboldens another guy to mock the Jews. But then you got Nehemiah standing there saying, don't listen to these clowns, and the people keep working. God, give us the Nehemiahs in our churches today that say, don't listen to that, just keep going for Jesus. And if we'll just keep going for Jesus, the work will get done, church. You know they built this wall, was it 52, 54 days, something like that. That's incredible. How'd they do that? They didn't listen to all the adversaries mocking them and giving them a hard time. But they did listen to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah helped strengthen them. Look at verse 10. The Bible says this, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much, and the word is, and I've told you before, I'll tell you again, you got to get real worried when church people start using the world's terms. Here's Judah. They're supposed to be some of the strongest, one of the strongest tribes that loves God and stay close to Him, and yet they're using the same word that Sanballat used. And when they do that, watch what happens. So that we are not able to build the wall. Boy, I bet that made people want to get out of bed the next morning. Boy, I bet that made Nehemiah feel warm and fuzzy inside. When he heard, well, Judah, they're discouraged. Judah is dispirited. Amen? It doesn't say it here, but by definition, they're faint. And their faint-heartedness is beginning to infect everybody else that's working. And Nehemiah's got to put a stop to it. And multiple times throughout this book, you'll forgive me for not giving you the references tonight, but multiple times throughout this book, Nehemiah gets before God and he says, God, would you strengthen my hands for this good work? Because that man knows he's got to get up the next morning and stand in front of that group of workers and encourage them and strengthen them so they don't get faint and quit. And if you're struggling for something to pray about for your pastor, won't you just pray, God would strengthen my hands so that the church's hands can be strengthened. Be a good prayer. Be a good prayer. All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I tell you, church, you and I here at Spring City, not just in my years of pastoring here, but over 90 years, this church has been through some really good times, and this church has been through some really hard times. And we praise the Lord for sustaining us to this point. It's all God's strength that we're sitting here tonight. And it'll be God's strength if we're sitting here another 10 years from now if He tarries His appearing. I hope He comes before then. But if He doesn't, it'll be God's goodness and strength that keeps us going. But I tell you, we can forgive the phrase, we can cut our own throat by sitting here in 2026 and saying, boy, I remember the days back in 1996. We do ourselves a real disservice to sit here in 2026 and say, man, I remember how good it was back in 2006. Or 1986. Or 1976. You know. If all we do is look back to the past, listen, and wish for and long for the days that are gone, we'll become faint. We'll become dispirited. We'll be dejected because it's not like it was then, and you know, the people aren't here, and I was telling you about Miss Kathy put that PowerPoint together, and I don't remember what year it was, in the late 60s, early 70s. There's a big article in the London News about Spring City Baptist Church and the new building here. 425, 450 people on the church membership roll. Well, it sure ain't like that now. 350 people sitting in here on Sunday morning. Sure ain't like that now. But I'll tell you what, we do ourselves and we do God a disservice to sit here and say, I wish we had that. And because I don't have that, I'm just not going to be happy when I come to church. Now you may not say that, but that's the way that thing works. All those people aren't here. Maybe some folks that you're really close to, they're not here anymore. By death or by choice. But what are we going to do? We're still here. And if you and I get faint, the work will cease. And so we got to be careful about always wishing for the days gone by and focusing on the past or focusing on the negative things that have happened. Listen, 90 years, there's been a lot of really positive things happening in this church. And there's been a lot of really negative things happening in this church. And you and I get to choose which one we're going to focus on. And I'll tell you right now, if all we do is focus on the negative, we'll get faint, and we'll be faint-hearted, and it'll infect the whole church. But if we'll focus on the positive, God will strengthen our hands through that, And it'll encourage everybody, and the morale will be really good. And everybody, every time we got something to do, everybody show up and say, hallelujah, we can do it one more time. Okay, you get the point. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now that ministry, you got to go back and read in chapter 3. God is contrasting the law and grace, and he's talking about the ministration of death and the ministration of life and all those different things down through there. And so we won't take time to lay that groundwork, but what he's saying here, this ministry, what he's talking about is the ministry that you and I have. Okay? If you're saved tonight, you have the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's the ministry God's given to every one of us in here that are saved. And we're ambassadors for Christ. Okay, so therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we receive, as we have received mercy, we what? We faint not. Okay, now this is big words here that God has Paul write. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Here's the verse we use to kick off this whole study. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, amen, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake, for God, who commanded the light to shine of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And if you and I hide the light that God's put inside of every one of us that are saved, we're hiding it to those who are lost. We understand that. That's the ministry that we have in this day and time. Now, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not us. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 8. We're troubled on every side. You know, this ministry that we all have comes with trouble. Oh, gee, that's fun. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And Paul, listen, he talks about this ministry, and he says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Hallelujah. We preached about all this. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Boy, wouldn't that be a great thing. Verse 16. For which cause, what's that? All the persecution, all the trouble, all the perplexity, all the casting down, all the backs turning on you. For which cause, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, see, there's the physical, right? Yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. Romans 12 says that we're renewed in our minds. Amen. And church, for you and I to not be faint in this day, which we're involved in a ministry that's going to bring persecution and affliction and perplexity and casting out and people turning their backs on you and all the things that Paul talked about there, for you and I to not be faint, that inner man, that spiritual man is going to have to be renewed day by day. That mind is going to have to be renewed, not conformed to the world, but renewed, amen, day by day. And that inner strength, that spiritual strength, will give us the moxie, if you will, just to carry on for another day. He goes on to say, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And God help Spring City Baptist Church not to faint in these last days. Not to stop working, not to quit, not to just lay aside everything that we ought to be using. Hebrews 12 verse 1, wherefore seeing we are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, I think sometimes the reason we get faint is because we're expending all of our energy on things we ought not. He's going to talk about running a race. I hated running. I still don't like to run. But I know this, when I ran cross country in high school, the coaches had enough sense to tell us, listen, 24 hours before your race, you don't need to be drinking a soda. 24 hours before your race, please don't be eating Skittles and Snickers and sugar. 24 hours before that race, we were supposed to be carb loading and pasta and protein and drinking water and electrolytes and water and electrolyte. Because when it came time to run the race, if your body wasn't prepared, you're not going to make it. Or it's not going to perform at the level that it ought to perform at, which mine was always very low. This body wasn't meant for running 3 miles. Amen. But the Christian race has got to be the same then. What we're feeding on spiritually is going to affect the way in which we run the race, or if we run at all, or if we faint. And I saw plenty of people faint in a cross-country meet. I wished I'd have been one of them. But boy, we can expend so much energy on the weights and the sin which doth so easily beset us, that when it comes time to fight the spiritual battle, we don't want to fight it. Remember, it's always easier to stay quiet and not ever say anything than it is to say what ought to be said. Parents will know this. Grandparents will know this. Little child does something they shouldn't do. Been having a good day so far. Everything's been in good spirits in the home. But now we've got a choice to make. We're going to deal with the sin, or we're just going to sweep it under the carpet and hope for a better day. And you know why parents don't want to deal with what they have to deal with? Because they're tired. Worked all day, washed dishes, folded clothes, fixed meals. Dad's been out in 20 degree weather dealing with whatever he's dealing with. And come home and mom says, oh, he said, how's the day? Well, it's pretty good except for, we don't have any Jeffreys, do we? Little Jeffrey, let me tell you what he did. And that dad, because he's tired, he's exhausted, the last thing he wants to do is go into Jeffrey's room and deal with it. But if he loves that boy and he loves God, he'll go deal with it. And the same is true in our lives, church. We come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but we've all been out there in that world since we saw each other last. And then all of a sudden, the Lord brings the message and speaks to your heart about something He needs you to deal with, and you say, I'm just exhausted. I don't want to deal with that. Lord, I got so much going on, I get to it later. And it'll make us faint. Because we're faint, we won't do what we're supposed to do. And he goes on to say, verse 1, let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, there it is, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Well, I'm glad Jesus didn't faint. Despising the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and, there it is, faint in your what? Mind. He didn't say your body. He said your mind. You know, because Jesus was submitted to doing the Father's will, it strengthened him to go through the crucifixion even though his body was beaten to within an inch of its life. And yet, because of that spiritual fortitude, he said, I'm going on, I'm carrying through. That's the spirit that God's trying to get us to have as a church. Because the next verse is, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Nobody in here is getting whipped for the cat of nine tails because of sin. And so the Lord says, look, if you'll just keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, and you'll consider what He went through, and you'll think about how strong He was in those times of temptation and weakness in His life, then it will strengthen you to not be weary and faint in your mind. And when you and I are not wearied and faint in mind, we'll keep going for Jesus because we're not going to faint. Chapter 12. We don't have time for this. Read this tonight before you go to bed or in the morning when you get up. Verse 5 through verse 13, God's talking about chastening. And it ain't pleasant for the present time. But God chastens us because He loves us. Because He wants us to conform. He wants to conform us. I'll get it out. To the image of Jesus Christ. But the Lord says, and I believe it is verse 5. Let's read that one. You've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, watch. Despise thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. You know what a rebuke does to some people? It dispirits them. It depresses them. Children are that way. They'll be going along and having a good day and they're at the high spirits. And all of a sudden you say, hey, don't do that. Anybody besides me seen that? It's not just a phenomenon in the Brown household, right? Okay. Happens. And God said, listen, church. When I rebuke you, that parent that rebukes the child does it because they love the child. God rebukes the church because He loves the church. You know what every one of those seven churches got from Jesus? Every one of them got a rebuke. Some stronger than others, but they all got it. And He reminded them, I'm rebuking you because I love you. And so Spring City Baptist Church, listen, of all the commendations that I think this church might have sitting here tonight, there's some rebukes that we need too. But we can't be so childish that when God rebukes us, we faint. I can't believe He thinks I did wrong. Just thank Him for loving you enough to tell you what you did wrong. And get that strength and go on. Don't faint. So we don't faint the chastening of the Lord. You know the verse tonight, Galatians 6 verse 9. You don't have to turn over there. Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And that's sort of been the foundation of this whole message series, is just to keep us encouraged and going forward in the gospel ministry, to keep giving out those tracts and keep being a witness and keep sowing the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Because one day there's a harvest coming if we don't faint. And the church that faints in that area says, we've tried that for 30 years and nobody got saved. The church that faints in evangelism says, we've spent all that money and all that time building those floats and nobody ever got saved. We're going to do it no more. And they faint. And the Lord said, if you'll just keep sowing, there'll be a harvest one day. Amen. Handfuls of purpose help though. Amen. We're still asking for those. Isaiah 40, and we're done tonight. Isaiah chapter 40. Many of you know these verses. Again, talking about Israel. Talking about Israel coming out of the tribulation time, being reestablished in the kingdom of heaven with Jesus as their king. That's the doctrinal application here. We'll take the devotional out of it as well. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, you know who He is, right? The Lord, the capital C, creator of the ends of the earth. And what's the next two words? Okay. I'm really glad God doesn't faint. And He's got a whole lot more on Him than we do. But listen, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. 29, watch now. He giveth power to who? To the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, verse 31, you know the verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And you know what I think is required in verse 31 to wait upon the Lord is to look to God and say, I can't do it on my own, Lord. I gotta have your help. And for Spring City Baptist Church tonight to collectively look to God and say, Lord Jesus Christ, we want to do it for you, Lord, but in our own strength we can't. And Lord Jesus, you promised in the end of Mark you'd work with us. Go get the gospel out. And Lord, if you'd strengthen our church, you'd help us to not be weary, not be faint. Lord, we really appreciate it. If you think about all that the church of Ephesus faced on a daily basis. Remember now, this is the church that existed in the town where over 95% of the people worshiped the goddess Diana. This is the town where they were so rich, they could spend 50,000 pieces of silver on magic books and witchcraft books, and which tells me they were highly valued in that society. This is a church that most likely, like we saw in Greece, when those people got saved in Ephesus, they probably lost their job. Their family cut them off. The friends they were used to going out and eating with didn't want to go out and eat with them anymore. You understand? It cost them something. And yet Jesus looks at them and says, you've worked, you've labored, you've had patience, and by the way, you didn't faint. And boy, I want that commendation one day for Spring City Baptist Church, because this church has worked. This church has labored. This church has had patience. But let's not faint, amen? Let's just keep going for Jesus in the strength of His power. May God help us to keep going for His name's sake. Amen. Let's